I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray this evening. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come apart from the cares of this life, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that you would bless us on this Sabbath as we reflect on your word, as we remember our Creator, our Redeemer, our friend. We pray that you would clear the clutter out of our minds, the distractions. Help us to focus on you and your word. Lord, my feet are made of clay. We thank you that you have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And we thank you that you have chosen weak, frail vessels to proclaim your word. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to speak tonight. May you enlighten our minds and speak to our hearts, for we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our passage of reflection this evening is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's Psalm 119. It's a beautiful work of poetry. Every 8 verses, it's a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the focus of our meditation this evening begins with verse 9. It's a scripture song here at Ouachita Hills. I remember it well, back when I was a student here. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? And for those of you that have been with us through this week, it's been Purity Week, where we've been focusing on purity. Now, just as a side note, there seems to be this reaction to calling out the sins, quote-unquote, of purity culture. If you've seen it on the social media sites and so forth, they say, oh, what's wrong with purity culture? And it's really a reaction, I believe, in a way, to the notion that, hey, men are not responsible for their thoughts and women are the ones that are to be modest. And look, that's not what we espouse here at Ouachita Hills. And let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Amen? Never judge something by its abuse. Men are responsible for their thoughts. Amen? And we want to glorify God by dressing in a way that glorifies Him, which includes modesty. And so there is this phenomena that is taking place. And look, purity is a biblical concept. Amen. And I'm not going to let culture hijack the word purity. And because we want to focus on purity this week, we're talking about biblical purity. Amen. The word pure is in Scripture. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, verse 9 of Psalm 119 begins with this question. How can a young man cleanse his way? The question is, what is it that young men struggle with? What is it that an 18, 19, 16, 17-year-old struggles with today? And we don't have to throw it or be in the fog as to the scourge that is taking place in modern society today. Pornography. They did a study not long ago in which they were trying to look at the effects of pornography. And they wanted a control group. They wanted to find an individual that had not been exposed to porn at a particular university. And they could not find one. Not one. There was no control group. And what they're finding with the nature of pornography today is that the internet has not only made pornography accessible, but also heightened the stimulus. I was watching one talk by an expert in which they said, like, look, The Playboy magazines and the dirty, filthy magazines of yesterday were bad. They still are. But what they pointed out is that the stimulus of the internet is like this concentration of stimuli in which the brain becomes accustomed to an infinite number of pornographic images.
Tony Campalo, prominent Protestant that I used to listen to, a theology of mysticism provides some hope for common ground between Christianity and Islam. Both religions have within their history examples of ecstatic union with God. Tony Campalo goes on in Letters to a Young Evangelical, page 30. I've learned about this way of having a born-again experience from my reading of the Catholic mystics, especially the spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola. Like most Catholic mystics, he developed an intense desire to experience a oneness with God. And I could go on and on. The point is, there's a false form of meditation out there. And this false form of meditation is basically emptying your mind. And it's spiritualism. It's opening yourself for communication with demons. And here, Leonard Sweet, in his book, Quantum Spirituality, page 10, he says this: mysticism, once cast to the sidelines of Christian tradition, is now situated in the center of postmodern culture. In the words of the greatest theologian of the 20th century, Jesuit philosopher of religion, Karl Rahner, the Christianity of tomorrow will be a mystic, one who has experienced something, or he will be nothing. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 through 14 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth to gather them to the battle of the great day of God." I believe this form of mysticism and meditation is going to be a part of the false unity in the end of time. Ted Wilson, July 2010, General Conference Session. Quote, "Don't reach out to movements or mega church centers outside the Seventh-day Adventist Church which promise you spiritual success based on faulty theology. Stay away from non-biblical spiritual disciplines or methods of spiritual formation that are rooted in mysticism, such as contemplative prayer, centering prayer, and the emerging church movement in which they are promoted." Why would he say that at a general conference session? Because it's here. We're not immune to what is taking place in the evangelical community. In the end of time, there will be a false form of meditation that will be central to the false trinity that is coming together. It's going to minimize doctrine. It's going to minimize a reading and reflecting of God's word. And it's going to heighten a certain experience. And look, postmodern culture today, millennials, zennials, and I've lost track of what they're calling every generation now, but everyone is about experience. No one wants to have a Bible study. It's about experience. And I'm not downplaying experience, but the experience must be centered in the Word. Not a practice that gets you into a certain brain wave that opens your mind up for possession or spiritualism. This is what's taking place in our world today. And it's gotten to the place where the General Conference President at a gathering of the World Church has to give a warning. Don't practice these things. Having said that, we need to recognize that meditation is a biblical concept. Not this form of meditation. Just as this false form of meditation is going to be central in the end of time for those that are going to receive the mark of the beast, we can see from Scripture, and I'll show it to you this evening, that biblical meditation is central, I believe, to receiving the seal of God on your forehead. Biblical meditation. Now, Eastern meditation is about emptying your mind. Biblical meditation is very simple. It's thinking about Scripture. That's what it is. But it's thinking about Scripture again and again and again. It's not redundant, but I'll reveal to you certain scriptures that bring out this notion of how we are to think about God. Now, look at the way that meditation works. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. This is known as the Shema. Every Jew would wake up in the morning, it used to be, and say the Shema. Jesus quoted this in the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How do you know if you love God with all of your being? He shows it to you in the next few verses. This is what it looks like. And these words which I have commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. How do you know that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? When you get up in the morning, you think about God. When you go through your day, you think about God. You talk about God with your family. You talk about God at lunch. You talk about God at breakfast. You talk about God while you're working. You think about God at every moment of your day till you go to bed at night. Now you're like, how can anyone do that? And notice what he says. You shall put them as a sign on your hand and bind them as frontlets between your eyes. The high priest had a gold plate on his forehead that said, Holiness to the Lord. Right here, the 144,000 are sealed in their foreheads. And notice that the mark of the beast is on the hand and the forehead. But look at the experience of someone that loves God. You think about him all day long. Now, there is something called sanctified imagination. Now, the reason I've talked about false meditation is that I didn't want anyone to think that when I talk about sanctified imagination that I'm going to the place of the Jesuits. Please, I'm not. But I think the idea of sanctified imagination is something that we haven't captured fully. Now, we have the left brain and the right brain. Some of us have a certain proclivity or tendency for one side or the other. The left brain, your engineers, your mathematicians. Your right brain, your artists, your musicians. Now, we need to use both sides of our brains. You may have a tendency one way or another. Your left brain deals with logic, analysis, sequencing, mathematics, language, facts. You think in words. The right brain is about creativity, imagination, holistic thinking, intuition, feelings, visualization. With that in mind, I want to read a very famous quote from the book Desire of Ages that we've all read and heard of multiple times. It's Desire of Ages, page 83. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon His great sacrifice for us, our confidence in Him will be more constant, our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with His Spirit. Let me ask a question. Is this right brain or left brain? It's right brain. Let the imagination, grasp each scene. In other words, you're seeing a picture in here. A mental picture in here. Look, I'm not downplaying analysis and exegesis. I have a terminal degree. It doesn't sound too good, but you know what I'm talking about. Sounds like cancer or something. But and all we do is exegesis, which is analysis. Sentence diagramming, look at the structure, you get into the Greek and all that. And we need to do that. I'm not downplaying left brain. But here, she's talking about right brain. In other words, we're not going to the text and say, oh, I wonder what that adverb means and the sentence structure and so forth. No. It's a very right brain experience. So when you engage the text, she says, let the imagination grasp each scene. See the mental picture. And she says, the result of this will be our confidence in Him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with His Spirit. Look. When I engage my wife, I'm in a relationship with her. I don't think blonde, blue-eyed, 5'4", from North Dakota, born in 1980. You know, I don't want this being taped and so forth. Social Security number, no, I'm just saying. No. I mean, there is no emotion with that. Those are facts. The way that you're in a relationship with someone is right brain. It's the person. It's the thoughts and the feelings and the conversation. And look, one day we're going to meet Jesus face to face and ask this question. If Jesus were to walk into this room, what would it be like? I know you, but I don't really know you. I remember I opened the door one time to the bathroom and there was a famous person there, but it was the weirdest thing because I knew him, but he didn't know me from Adam. And I was like, and I just walked around him. One day we're going to see Jesus face to face. And is it going to be like, I don't know you. Hi. Or is it going to be like, this is our God. I know you. I love you. The only way you get to that experience is if you use both sides of your brain. Sanctified imagination. That's biblically centered. You're not just coming up with images apart from Scripture, but you read the text. And she says, let there be a mental picture here of the text. Right brain. And she says that there's emotions that follow that. Your love will be quickened. Look, you can't help but fall in love with a God like that. but it's not about facts and figures. It's about the person that the Holy Spirit guides in your sanctified imagination. Just so you know that this is not off the wall. Let me read from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 1. Let us in imagination. This is the prophet. You believe the prophet? Let us in imagination go back to the scene. And as we sit with the disciples in the mountainside, enter into the thoughts and feelings that filled their hearts, understanding what the words of Jesus meant to those, what they heard, those who heard them. This is from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 85, talking about Enoch. The infinite, unfathomable love of God through Christ became the subject of his meditations day and night. And with all the fervor of his soul, he sought to reveal that love to the people among whom he dwelt. Enoch, a type of the last generation that are going to be sealed and translated without seeing death. He walked with God, and it was in his thought life. And he says that the subject of Christ became the subject of what he thought about all day long. It became the consuming thing of his thought life. Biblical meditation is the key to purity. It's an integral part of being sealed in the end of time. And I believe that God is calling us not to the counterfeit form of transcendental, contemplative meditation, but to biblical meditation. Amen? That incorporates Scripture, but it's reading Scripture a particular way. Letting God paint the images of Scripture in our minds, particularly of Jesus and his love. And you will fall in love with him. Amen. I want to close with this quote from the book Steps to Christ. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pleasures weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. Have you felt like that before? Maybe some of you are dealing with an addiction in this room that is destroying your spiritual life. Maybe there's someone in this room that is struggling with pornography. Maybe there's someone in this room that is struggling with masturbation. Maybe there's someone in this room that is struggling with a thought life that is destroying them. And you're about to give up. She says, what you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men. It is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections, but you can choose to serve him. You can give him your will. Then he will work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thus, your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with him. Another place she says, Lord, help me to be willing to be made willing. And I want to make an appeal tonight. I didn't plan this, but Dylan, can you help me out on the piano here? This is serious. I want to make an appeal tonight. Look, tomorrow is not assured. Who cares what anyone else thinks in this room? This is between you and God. I just found out someone I knew died. and it's decision time. And if there's someone here tonight that wants to say, Lord, this thing is destroying me. It's destroying my spiritual life. And I need help. I need help. But I can't do this by myself. And you want to say, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. I want to invite you to come forward tonight. I'm willing, God bless you, my brother. I'm willing to be made willing. This is between you and God. Don't care about the people next to you. This is between you and God. I'm willing to be made willing tonight. Create in me a clean heart. I need your help tonight. I want to invite you to come forward. Coming forward is just a physical act that affirms a spiritual decision. Look, this moment, in heaven's eyes, is the most important moment, and it may not come again. And if there's someone here tonight that the Holy Spirit is saying, you know you need to stand, but you're afraid, the Bible says, fear not. And you want to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours tonight. Do for me what I'm incapable of doing on my own. Amen. She says, give God your will. That's the only decision you can make. You say, Lord, I can't even give you my will. Take it. Take it. And you want to make that decision here tonight. God bless you, my brother. Let's kneel together as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for grace. We thank you most of all for Jesus. And Lord, we've come forward tonight saying, Lord, I need help. It's an admission of our inadequacy and yet of your power. I pray for especially the people that have come forward here tonight. Lord, you know what it is. And Lord, we're claiming the promise that if we ask, we shall receive. And Lord, we know that this prayer of forgiveness and power is in accordance with your will. So I pray for every young person that's come forward here tonight, that you would work in them both to will and to do of your good pleasure. May they make the decision daily to surrender. Lord, it's not over. To surrender to you every single day. To consecrate themselves to God in the morning. And then to, by the grace of God, give our thoughts to you every day. To focus on your word. If the mind wanders, to bring it back. To quote scripture. To imagine Jesus as lived out in the text. Lord, help us to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Give us the gift of purity here tonight. Lord, help us. Help us to believe. Help us to trust you. Help us to depend on your word. Bless and keep us to that end, for we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may go back to your seats now. Let's sing the song, All to Jesus I Surrender, as our closing hymn. And let's stand together as we sing this. Page 309. Father in heaven, that is the prayer of our hearts. Take our hearts because we can't give it. Make it pure because we can't make it pure. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, we pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.